B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock, hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Buy any window or door, get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guida Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com. By the way, there are a lot of people that during this global pandemic may be fortunate enough to stay home and do your work and out of harm's way. However, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community a safer place day in and day out. Doctors, nurses, educators, custodians are health heroes. Now, if you have a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize, just go to our website, 975thefanatic.com right now, and nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Every health hero we highlight will receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card. We are all in this together. And we heard a very emotional call from a male nurse yesterday who called in and had some things to say. You know, these people are putting their lives at risk every day, and they don't have the proper masks and all that kind of thing. So these are the people that really are the most meaningful people in our lives right now.
100%.
So think of them.
Not even close.
Yes. You know, as I was coming today, speaking of coffee, you know, all the coffee shops are shut down too, right?
Yeah.
Like the start, you would think like Starbucks would do a pivot here and quick build a takeout window.
Well, some do. Some
yeah, but the ones
have
that don't have it.
That's hard to do.
It is?
Yeah.
Would it be hard to do?
Yeah. To do, I mean, you could do pickup, but a lot of them already have the drive-through, and a lot of them, because a lot of them are open, and right now, any first responder gets free coffee.
There's two in my neighborhood that are closed, and I'm thinking that, like, to look ahead here, this is going to last a while, that you could build a quick window that you could just walk up to and get coffee.
Yeah, you got.
I'm just thinking of like business wise.
So yeah, I'm trying to think
the franchisees,
how many,
the people that own these franchises, are getting killed right now.
Yeah, they are. Maybe they can do something like that because I know there's some locations that are open and first responders, if they want the coffee, they can get it.
All right, let's go to Ian in Newark. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ian?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, you're a handsome guy, but that goatee's got to go, man.
No, a lot of people kind of like it. It's giving me a rustic look.
You got sweatpants on too, man.
It's only a couple of days. It hasn't gotten the full, you know, situation.
Yeah, but when you guys get a chance, watch that Tigerland show, man. That show is crazy.
I am going to watch that.
I don't know if people are allowed to have zoos. Like, they have zoos at their house and stuff.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
I guarantee you start it, you're going to finish it tonight. It shows it's insane. But, I got three rules I wrote down for baseball that they knew. We're going to disagree on this, but they have to change, though. Mm-hmm. I love baseball. But there's three rules I wrote down. Shot clock for the pitchers, 12 seconds, right? Now, baseball, number two, they got to move the mound down because everybody throws 98 to 100. And then the third one, they got to get rid of the shifts. I think those three rules can be adjusted. I think that would make the game better. And I love baseball, but I think you're wrong about they don't have to change anything now.
No, they don't.
I disagree.
You're gimmicking it up. All right, so you want to take the fact that a guy has worked so hard to be able to throw 97, 98, you want to take that advantage away from him?
Because there's just too many strikeouts. Now, if they had the shot clock, there wouldn't have been any cheating because you understand it took some time for them to get the...
There are too many strikeouts because guys are told to uppercut swing these days.
Mike, I disagree with you. These guys are going 99 miles an hour, though. You can't adjust to that.
First of all, who are the great pitchers in this league that are dominating the league? There's only a couple of them that can dominate the league at that speed.
When you're talking about the stats, it's killing the game because you go to a game, and a guy is right, the worst package is the Sunday package because it's always 100 degrees on Sundays. But
I'm going to ask you again. How many guys that throw that hard are dominant pitchers in the league?
I think there's a lot
of them.
You're
making it sound like there's 25. There's five. There's five in a whole baseball that can do that.
Mike, but you got, I mean, name me guys that throw less than 95 miles an hour.
Though. Well, that's the point is that the game evolves because training methods are better. And this day and age, guys throw harder. That's just natural progression.
If you go to the game and it's just all strikeouts and walks, that's not fun to watch, though.
I
love baseball, but they're wrong about it because I put money on the games, but they're wrong. It's just too slow, though. They got to adjust, though.
Yeah, but it's just slow to you. It's not your game. They'll bug out of it. What's the other thing you want to change?
I want to change it, get rid of the shift, not having seven guys in one side.
Why? What's wrong with the shift? It's a defensive strategy. It's like a zone defense. You want to get rid of that? In basketball, you want to get rid of that?
It'll just give more. My point is to just make
your
more
points
action,
are ridiculous.
Though. You
are trying to alleviate an advantage that a team has. Like, if a team can cultivate a 98-mile-an-hour pitcher who can throw strikes, good for them. They've done their job. It doesn't happen all the time. There aren't 98-mile-an-hour pitchers dominating baseball. There's like five of them.
But, Mike, Astros were cheating, and still they still didn't win the World Series.
You're moving into a completely different territory about cheating now. Like, stick to your point.
The shot clock would have got rid of that, though.
The shot clock, as far as pitchers?
For pitching, they do have to have a shot clock, because some pitchers take 1 minute to get a pitch, like Zach Greinke. They got to do it for certain pitchers, though.
All right. Yeah, shot clock for pitcher, I can go with that. The shift I don't go with. The shift is a defensive strategy where they have one-upped you. Now it's your turn to one-up them. If you want to keep hitting into the shift, keep going. You're making it easy on them.
Yeah, that was not a good call. Everything he said was bad. That was a good call.
You want to lower the mound. How many guys really? Listen, they all throw. Everybody who comes up throws really hard. Everybody who comes up isn't successful because they throw hard.
Well,
there are five guys that are successful.
Well, less balls are in play now than ever before in the history of baseball.
Yeah, I get it, because guys want to uplift the ball because home runs are what the game is, like the three-point shot is in the NBA.
Right. The difference is you could take the same amount of three-point shots. So if you watch the game, you're seeing three-point shots instead of dunks. You end up seeing a tremendous amount more strikeouts now than you would in previous generations of the game. It's very different.
Well, because
in that way.
That's the way they're teaching it. Now, they could very easily not teach that. They can go back to the swing path that was a little older.
They could. I thought a hybrid would be zero strikes, one strike, you stay with it. Two strikes, guys used to choke up. You could bring that back, but I don't think they will.
What does most teams need more than anything?
What do you mean?
To be good. Pitching, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means there's a dearth of great pitching in the game.
It always will be.
So this guy wants to lower the mound to make the dearth of great pitching even worse.
Yeah, his call was horrendous. Like, it was, none of the points were good.
All right, just leave the game alone. You want a 12-second pitch clock? All right, fine.
That'll shake up
everybody's routine, but so what? Hey, let them shake up the pitcher's routine. I don't care. You have to deliver a pitch as soon as you get a ball back from the catcher. You want to get back in there? All right.
And the way to do that is to improve signaling. That's one thing that it's amazing, though, because Jason Stark said it on the show with you a couple weeks back. As much as there's technology now for signaling, the NFL's been using it for 30 years.
Well, that's what I said. But what happens on this cheating scandal is, there's got to be the communication in the cap.
But while there was still spring training, everybody just wants to hold up fingers. That's unbelievable. I don't know why. Baseball refuses to change. That could change, and that would speed up the game organically. Without you having to make any rules, getting signals in quicker would make guys be able to start their process sooner, which would then speed up the game.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
And I know you are. The players, though, refuse. They're going to have to be made to.
Yeah. If the players refuse came in and said, 12-second pitch clock, and then we're going to signal electronically, I got no problem. That's not altering the game.
Right.
The other lowering the mound is altering the physical part of the game.
Right. Leave the game alone. Baseball should get past holding up fingers. That's ridiculous. And the fact that players were like, no, I've got to have these fingers. So the commissioner has to step in now and make them change, since they refuse.
The only problem is you got to get it past Players Association.
Listen, Players Association, you want to you want more, then I don't want to hear none of you complain about cheating then. If you don't want to make an adjustment, I don't want to hear all you crying the blues about the Astros.
You can say what you will about it, but in the end, they have to vote. You know, so if you don't have the vote, you're not going to get it in.
He unilaterally put in that there's certain things he could do unilaterally. That three batter thing he put in without a player vote. I think he got to get the owners to vote on that clock, that part.
All right, let's go to Lower Marion with Josh. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
How's it going, Mikey?
What's up, Josh?
Hey, I love following calls like that. It makes me look so smart. I was actually going to make an Eagles point, but I really want to talk about what that guy just said because it just had me like pacing in my living room. Uh-huh. First of all, do you remember like when Doc Halliday throws a no-hitter? Those games are very enjoyable for me. I love seeing good pitching. When you get like, you know, the top of the rotation versus the top of the rotation, it's just a different way to watch the game. It shouldn't all just be about home runs. I mean, that guy literally wanted to like, okay, if the pitcher throws over 95, maybe we should give the batter the option of hitting off a tee. Like, it's the game, man. Like, pitching is part of the game. It's what the Phillies need right now is pitching.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, all these unhittable 98-mile-an-hour guys, right? There are three guys that throw that hard that are capable of complete games. Like, even Verlander and Strasburg aren't capable anymore of complete games. Strasburg's a six-inning guy. So, like, where are these great, dominant 98-mile-an-hour pitchers? Cole, Scherzer, DeGrom. They're the three in whole all baseball.
And they're all fun to watch, each and every one of them. And to dilute that would be diluting the game. The game has been around forever. It's perfect in its natural form. The one thing I will say, too, first of all, I'm not even going to address his comments about the shift because it just makes no sense. You're going to tell players they're not allowed to move around a little bit on the field. It just doesn't, that doesn't make any sense. Players should learn how to hit out of the shift if you want to solve that problem.
Or hit through the shift. You still have a chance to hit it hard enough to get it through the shift. But, you know, another team adapt, and this is the way they think they can get you out better. You want to punish that?
It's exactly right. And the only thing, just before, I'd like to address Tyrone's Buffy the Vampire Slayer comment before I end this call. But the other thing, too, like, when you think about the catchers, right, because I was kind of on board for a second about the, you know, the singling, the hand signals. But think about, like, when you and I grew up playing baseball. And I'm not trying to, like, don't give me the, oh, good for you, because literally I was just like a, you know, little league catcher.
Oh, good for you!
But it was fun doing the signals. You know what I mean? You see the big league guys doing it. Like, yeah, it's
you don't, no, you don't need the signals.
I like
you really
it,
don't. You don't need you don't need a catcher signal.
Before we get cut off, Tyrone, you can't. I know Devil's Advocate is always fun. Buffy the Vampire Slayer over Game of Thrones, man. Come on.
Hey, you keep doing those baseball signals, buddy.
Well, he was a younger guy.
So what? He's so not 12.
So he went got Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't care about that. You can like Game of Thrones. The fact that he really is trying to hold on to the signal shows how stupid we are as a sports fan. And like the player. Like who cares how you get the signals in like with that?
Right.
Oh, that's really fun.
He's probably in a minority. I don't think people care about the signals.
The players know. The players really care. Well, that was the problem. The players in spring training care, which I'm shocked about.
Well, here's why they care, and here's why they can actually make a good point. If you're everything's up the middle, right? That's where your defense is, your second base, your shortstop, center fielder. That's all up the middle. They read the signals so they can position themselves better. Like, they're not, all right, there's a play chart that says, okay, you're stationary here. But if a softer throwing guy is on the mound and they're working this particular hitter on the outside part of the plate, well, then he's seeing that what that pitch is called, and he can adjust accordingly. That's where the signal is helpful to other players. It's not just the catcher-pitcher. Looking in at their sun.
Why couldn't you signal everyone electronically in 2020?
Well, you could, I guess, but
that's very easy. Like, that's solved in 5 seconds. Everybody's wearing something. Everybody looks to a different place rather than just the catcher. That could be solved in 10 minutes. Like, I get it. I'm saying everyone would have it. The outfielders would know where to shift. It all would come in. What I'm saying electronically versus holding up hand signals.
Okay, but you're missing the complication of the signal. Now, it's one thing to call fastball, curveball, slider. It's another thing on location. So if a pitcher is going to get a sign, and then the catcher is going to determine location.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's read by the by the player. So you're saying that they would get the signal, they would know the pitch, they would just watch the catcher and where he's positioned.
I'm saying the catcher could signal out, too. There's ways of doing all this electronically very easily.
I'm with you. I want the electronic. I'm just fostering the other side of it on why players feel more comfortable with the hand signs. And it's easier for them to play the field.
I get it. And the outfielders, I mean, once they shift, it's not like the batters don't know. Like, they know. They can see them. Yes. So it's like the infielders only. You really only need, like, 8 guys. They can get the signal to 29 guys now in football. They get it every, like, baseball has to get off of that.
All right. Do you want to, how about the third base coach? You want no signals down there?
Third base coach?
Or do you like that?
It all should be electronic. No more of that. You can do that for dummy signs, but it's coming in electronically. And however you decide to do it, you can have it on your chest and it can tell you. You can have it on your wrist. You can have it. Every team can have it different. It could be in your cleats. It could be in the stirrups. I don't care where you put them. But it's decided electronically.
I agree with you. That's one area where I think baseball can modernize, especially with this cheating scandal, is to do it electronically.
And it would not change for the viewer.
What are players saying mostly that they don't like about that?
It actually had nothing to do with the fielders. It was mostly pitchers complaining and catchers complaining about their routine.
All right, well, that's silly.
It was mostly those guys because this is how I've always done it and I came up doing this.
Yeah, well, that's where you got to be a little flexible,
I think.
All right, 610-632-0975. Jay Wright at 530. Melinda in Bear, Delaware. Hello, Melinda.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How you doing? Hey, listen, good. First of all, I just want to really give you guys a shout out. I mean, you're a sports talk show and it's no sports. I take you every day, and you guys keep me so engaged. I'm just listening to it.
Well, thank you very much.
But I loved you guys before. Love you now because I have been trying to get my friends to watch that Made in America about OJ for the last, like, 4 years, and they haven't watched it. So I'm trying to get engaged with it, but you guys are keeping me. I'm listening to you and Tyrone. And Tyrone, I agree with you 150%. He should not have got that get-out-of-jail-free card. We don't give him so many, and it shouldn't have went to OJ.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? When they arrested him, they just released him. It's a murder. This is murder one. Double homicide, right? He just walked out of the police department. It's unbelievable.
And no, when he wrote the book, if I would have killed her, this is what I would have done. Like, right. Stupid crap.
Yes.
But I just wanted to give y'all a shout out. But the other thing I want to bring out is, how is Ruth on that list? I just realized today when you said that, because I don't look at that as a... for entertainment.
Well, that's
more like a documentary.
Yeah, and Tyrone said the same thing, and a lot of people have said the same thing. I just thought it was so impactful that the committee considered it. Now, I thought it was going to get eliminated quickly, but it has survived. Now, it probably shouldn't have beat 6 feet under, but it did. And then once you get in the field, you know, once you get on a roll, Melinda, you know how that goes. You start making jump shots, boom.
Well, listen, thanks a lot, Kiva. And listen, let your goatee keep on growing, and it's looking good. You're in a new growth state.
It's a couple days. We'll see. Believe me, I'll zip it if it doesn't look good.
No, keep it going, Mike. Let it fill in. It'll look good.
All right, Melinda.
Take care. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. You guys are terrific. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. All right, so if you want to climb in, you can. I don't know. Was it a good idea to stop the tournament right now? I guess it is. Yeah, we'll have a clean slate tomorrow.
I think it's smart to have the clean slate.
We'll have the clean slate. We have the Sweet 16, and I'll reiterate what that is in a couple seconds. One thing I wanted to mention about the OJ thing. Here's the thing that I thought was really strange, and I guess you could have done it back then. The timeline. He goes to McDonald's with Cato. He comes back. He commits the murders.
Mm-hmm.
He then gets ready for his trip.
Yeah, take a flight, yeah.
The limo picks him up at 11:15. The flight is 11:45.
Yeah.
Now, think about that for a second. I can't even remember the times that you could show up at an airport like that. Like, even when you didn't have to check in. Like, isn't that kind of, like, how does he get on a 11:45 plane? 11:15 is when they start to board.
Yeah, I don't know how he did that. That's just true. But I always, when it's pre-9/11, like I remember the rules being so different, maybe because he was a frequent flyer.
He had special OJ privileges right in the airport, right into the plane?
I thought he had special him. I thought a lot of people had privileges back in the day. That's what I assumed it back in the 90s.
I'm thinking he's got to drive to LAX.
He got there.
He got on the plane. Half hour wiggle room before the plane takes off. Forget about when the hatch is closed.
Right. I thought things were different back in the day. Like, you used to be able to walk people right up to the plane and send them off. I thought it was different. I thought OJ had a special.
What? It was 94?
Yeah, you could do that still in 94.
In 94. You could show up 10 minutes before the actual flight.
I thought you could back then. Like, they changed that hatch close rules, I thought, after 9/11, too.
Did you have to put your bag through a machine back then?
Yeah, they had an x-ray.
They did.
But are you sure he even had checked luggage? He might only had a carry-on.
He did have a carry-on. I don't think he checked.
So, yeah, you could just walk up with a carry-on. He went probably, and security was way lighter.
Maybe I'm just not thinking about how light security was. I find it hard to believe that you can start from your house at 11:15 for an 11:45 plane and get in there comfortably.
I remember my senior trip. It was a couple hundred of us. We were the whole plane. And we got through security, I felt like, in like 15 minutes. Back then, it was way quicker back then. And it was a lot. I remember kind of having to wait for my friends, but not really.
Let's go to Tom at Conshohocken. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
All right. I'm kind of pinned up for 9 days now, but I feel like jumping off the cliff, really, Mike. But, that guy talking about... Not that thing. I think he was doing a Hertz commercial or something to get through there. So
yeah, he jumped over people to get onto the plane, apparently.
Exactly. But that last call we're talking about, Frank Howard, do you remember the Arco gasoline company?
Yes.
All right, now I want to rack your memory. Do you remember those big pictures of like Rick Wise or Jim Bunning? They were like a 9x, and they would get them out on Saturdays if you filled your gas tank.
I collected those portraits when I was a kid, but I don't remember how I got them.
Yeah, that's how that
was.
Right.
Arco?
My pop and I would get down to the games.
They were like sketches, right?
Yeah, right. There were photographs of, like, I can remember Jim Bunning in them, Chris Short. I grabbed a couple of them. But I lived down the road from an Arco, and I'd go down and bug the mechanics, and they'd like, go take one. So I'd grab one and take off.
Arco.
You know? And then I get
Arco had the, like, the blue-violet sign.
Right, with the red ARC. Yeah, you got it, Mike.
Yeah.
That's all I want to talk about. A little memory of my baseball. First-time caller, and I am now going to be a good long-time listener.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to talk to Jay Wright. He didn't have a senior on that team last year.
Not one.
Not one senior.
And he's only going to lose one player tops.
If he loses that player.
I think he's losing that one.
He is?
I think so. Yeah.
So everybody is back, including a couple guys that are redshirted and a couple of recruits that are major.
Everybody's on.
What a world he lives in.
Yes, about to be number one on every
player. All right. So Jay Wright at 5:30. It'll be interesting to talk to Jay. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5:30. It's Mike Missinelli's show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Well, we're all deprived of sports here. And our next guest also is. Not only is a coach of an NCAA basketball team, the Villanova Wildcats, but also as a Philly sports fan, because he is a major Philly sports fan. Let's check in on what Jay Wright, the great Villanova men's basketball coach, is doing. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Mike, you missed. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I mean, this is the time, the NCAA tournament, the whole bit, Philly's opening day. I know you're a big Phils fan. How are you making out here?
It's crazy, man. I, it's, uh,
But, I mean, I'm good. I mean, you think about what's going on in our world. You know, our life is yours more than anybody's. Sports, ours is just basketball. But, you know, you think about all the people that are affected across the country, and these health workers that are going out there every day. I mean, those guys and ladies, they're the ones that have some serious challenges. You know, we're stuck at home and not playing basketball games, which, you know, we're a little nuts. That affects us, but it's nothing compared to what's going on in our world, you know, and what these healthcare workers are battling out there every day, you know?
Yes, that's well said. And, we've had time now, and you have had time, your kids have had time to kind of digest this. But when it first came down, I mean, it had to hit like a ton of bricks for you guys, because you were, let's face it, this looked like it was going to be another big run in the NCAA tournament. So, like, take me from that moment to now with you and your kids.
Yeah, it was crazy, Mike. You know, we were really playing good basketball. You know, I think we won 8 out of 9 or something coming down the stretch. That doesn't matter, but we felt like we were playing really well. Our young guys, our freshmen, Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Justin Moore, we felt like they were really starting to get it. You know, Colin Gillespie had been dealing with nagging injuries the whole second half of the season. He was getting healthy. Jermaine Samuels had a foot injury that was bothering him. He was playing through. He was healthy. You know, you can talk about it now because we don't have anything else to talk about. But, like, we were feeling really good, and we were in New York City, and the Thursday, we were going to play DePaul Thursday night. Mm-hmm. DePaul wins on Wednesday night, which was, you know, beats Xavier, which was a shock, you know. And we do our walkthrough in the morning. We stay right on Central Park South there, so we walk one block down to the New York Athletic Club. We do our walkthrough. We come back. We're all fired up. We're having our lunch. We're watching the start of the Creighton St. John's game. And now it's like you're just so dialed in into your little world. Like nothing else matters. Nothing else is going on. And then bang, you know, as we're sitting there, they say it's canceled. The NCAA tournament, I mean, the Big East tournament's canceled. And, you know, as coaches, we have everything planned to the minute. We have everything planned for these guys. It's one of the first times you say to them, hey, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't have a plan here. Like, I don't know if we're staying here tonight. I don't know if we're going home. I don't know what we're doing. So we said, you know, just go back up to your rooms and we'll figure this out and we'll get back to you. So we wound up coming back right away Thursday, and we got back to Villanova like about 4 o'clock. And when we got back, there was a lot of media there, and they had set up like a barricade for the media, you know, so they wouldn't come close to us. And I don't know, there was like 10, 15 media people there. And I sent the guys into the locker room and started talking to them. As I was talking to them, somebody handed me a phone. Somebody in the media handed me a phone and said, the NCAA tournament's canceled. I was like, wow. I said, you know what? I got to go back in and talk to our team. I got to tell our team, you know? So I went back in and talked to our guys, and they're just in shock. It's like everybody, every time we get hit with something now, it's not something that we considered, you know? It's just been a really strange time in all of our lives. And, you know, like I keep saying to you, Mike, like, this is what we do. It keeps us kind of entertained talking about sports, but I think we all realize what a small part of the world and our lives really sports is when you're worrying about people's health. But you also learn, one of the things I have learned is it is an incredible distraction for all of us, you know, and it does have a place in this world, because when you don't have it, you know, you can tell, like a lot of those health workers and people that go out there, they like coming home and listening to you on the way home, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been listening to you because I was listening to you in a car. I have been in the car, you know. I'm just home. But it does provide, you know, if you're one of those people that are going in there working in a hospital all day, you definitely don't want to get in your car and start thinking about that.
Yeah.
You want to hear you know, talk about the Sixers and the Phillies. So it, I kind of learned a lot from different perspectives during this.
Yeah, and of course, we're all quarantined, and we get out for 4 hours a day. We do the show and still come into the studio. But, you know, you're quarantined. You're at home. And it's funny, the juxtaposition for you, because at one point you're downsizing, and now all of a sudden you're upsizing because you got a lot of people in the house. What's going on with that? How did this whole thing evolve for you as far as the house goes and the family all together now?
It's funny, Mike, because my wife runs everything. She runs the business. She runs everything. So she made the decision we were downsizing. And because she has to take care of it, it's a big house. You know, we've got three kids in here. And now we got all three kids home. We got two girlfriends, two dogs, a cat. This place is rocking, man. And it's kind of fun, you know, but I joke with her. I'm like, you know, good thing, man. It's a good thing we didn't do this yet, because we would be in a little place packed in here. But, you know, everyone's still working from home, doing their work from different rooms. And it's kind of enjoyable, to be honest. I hate to say it, knowing what's going on out there. And hopefully no one here gets sick. But, I mean, we really have stayed here. We really have. We just locked in here you know, we play all of our games and do our thing and compete at everything, which is sanity in this family.
Well, I was reading in today's paper you had a family tennis tournament. Who won that thing today?
It's going on right now.
Oh, it's still going on. Okay.
My wife took me first and kicked my ass.
Your wife beat you?
Oh, she's a beat. No, man, in this family, I'm a schlep, man. They kicked me. You know, you play the intelligent games, you know, at night. They're all brilliant. They kill me. And the sports, I'm getting to be the old fart, and they're all good. And the women are good tennis players, and they kick. It's humbling, man.
That's all right. You can be humbled. let's talk some basketball here, because I want to touch base on this. Like, you've already, like, some outlets have already pronounced you as the number one team in the nation next year. And when you look at your roster and you lose one senior who really didn't play, and you have all these guys back, and you have a great recruiting class coming in, you had a couple red shirts. How does that affect you?
It gave me something to think about for a day. Like, that thing popped up. I saw two of them had us number one. One of them had us like number eight or something. You know what? It's so funny, Mike. We're working on the two most important things for us right now are Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Sadiq Bey. You know, we'll go through this pre-draft process. You know, we put their names in for the early entry evaluation. We have not heard back yet, but they will go through that. So, you know, these are two young guys that their careers are, you know, kind of in the balance right now.
So they have to decide themselves whether they're going to make this leap, right?
Right.
So let me just say, as far as the season being cut short, does that influence it at all? Because both of them would have had not only the Big East tournament, but the NCAA tournament to really kind of show more of their wares. Does that enter into it?
It probably will, Mike, in that both of them, and this is what I was talking about earlier, like Sadiq Bey was, you know, he's only a sophomore, you know, he's a young kid. He was just getting better and better. He was just playing great basketball. And he, you know, I think he was primed to have a great NCAA tournament. And Jeremiah Robinson Earl was a big guy who was, like, developing as a shooter, developing as a decision maker. You know, I actually gave him I gave him like his last eight games. He was shooting over 50% from the field, over 40% from three. He had a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. He's like almost averaging a double double. Like, he was really starting to come on. So, you know, you got to think in the NCAA tournament, he really could have, you know, made a name for himself. And then that gets cut short. Now, because of, you know, the Olympics being canceled, I did have a chance to talk with Sean Ford from USA Basketball and Greg Popovich, not about the NBA, but about our USA thing. And, you know, the NBA is up in the air still about what they're going to do. nothing's decided, but there's a possibility outside, you know, they could go through the draft process without even having these guys come and work out and just have to make their decisions based on what they saw this year. It's possible, you know, because we just don't know when we're going to allow to bring groups of people together. So these two are really up in the air in terms of, you know, do I work out right now and get ready, you know, or do I rest because I'm going to be going all summer? So we're trying to...
Do you give them a feel on what you think they should do, or do you just completely detach?
We always give them a feel, and mostly we give them information and give them scenarios. Like, you know, what do you want to do? You know, like, how do you want to go into the NBA? You know, do you want to, how much do you like school? You know, do you want to get out of school and be in the NBA, or would you be good coming back to school? Like, you know, like Dante DiVincenzo, last or a couple of years ago, really, you know, he was cool coming back. He's like, I love it. You know, I'm good. I'll go back. And, but he just had a great, you know, pre-draft workout, and he was in the 16th pick or whatever. So he really didn't have a choice, but every guy is different, and you just try to give them scenarios and then let them make the decision.
Yeah, I got you. Last question. And you know, I gotta ask you this question. As far as the NBA goes, are you interested at all, or are you ruling that out completely?
You know, I know you're going to be sick of hearing my answer.
Here's your answer. Your answer is Villanova is a wonderful place. It's the best job in the world. Right? That's your answer. I get it.
And I love it.
And I know that.
But you know, you're just stupid to say, you know, I don't want you 5 years from now, it's like, you told me you'd never go to the NBA. Why'd you say it?
Yeah.
I just love where I am. I don't want to give it up. And you know, last summer I got a chance to coach those guys. I love coaching those. It's awesome coaching those guys. You just can't have two jobs, you know? So I just like my job, but I don't want to leave it.
You know, you would be the perfect NBA coach because you do have that NBA experience, but you also have the gift of conversation. Like, you can reach people that you know, the NBA player is difficult to reach, but you would figure out the perfect way to do it. You'd be a perfect compromise coach. You'd be able to instruct them and not make them think like they're getting instructed.
That's very kind, and I do listen to you, and you do have a good perspective. It's not, you know, again, I got to coach those guys last summer. I got to see Popovich do it. I got to see Steve Kerr do it, Louis Pierce. It is definitely conversational. Like, those guys have an opinion. Now they're also very smart in that they know who the coach is, they know who the player is, but they have their ideas and they know how to do what they want to do. It is definitely conversational.
Here's the example I use, Jimmy Butler. You would find a way to blow sunshine up his nostril to the point where he'd go through a wall for you. I'm being serious about this now. You would have the exact way to reach Jimmy Butler because you figure stuff like that out.
At that level, it's definitely figuring those guys out. Now, and understanding that they all do have incredible levels of competitiveness. Now, sometimes that competitiveness can get in their way because ego gets involved. But they are so incredibly competitive. I marveled at that last summer with these guys.
Jay, you know where I'm going with this, right? You know where I'm going. Would the geographical connection influence you at all if you went to the NBA?
No, man. I honestly, it's not that. It's just, you know what, Michael, honestly, I don't have to do that in college, though. Like, I don't have to be conversational in college.
No, you have the hammer.
And you have young guys that are looking at you like, yo, tell me, like, I don't really get it yet. Tell me what I got to do. Like, that's really fun. That
I get that, but what not make me fun is going on the road to recruit, being in high school gyms and all that stuff. All right, go ahead. Quick.
I'll give you a great story. Last summer, we were in one of our games in the World Cup, and I mistakenly, it's my scout, and we're playing Turkey, and I mistakenly get on one of the players about a scouting assignment, and in a college way. Mm-hmm. And he comes back at me, and Steve Kerr just turns to me and goes, "Welcome to the NBA."
Yeah, I get it, but again, so you learn.
Don't talk to those guys.
You learn from that one example. See, I get it. College, you got you're used to having a hammer. I totally get it, man. They're coming. I know you're a competitive guy. It burns at you. All right, last thing I'm going to leave you with, because I got this note and I didn't know this about your background. You were the starting quarterback for the Southampton Knights 80-pound champion football team. Is that true?
I think we beat Bristol that year too, man. I think we beat up on Bristol Borough.
Well,
man,
you probably had better equipment.
We did. We definitely did. Those two are crappy, man. They didn't have the same color jerseys or anything.
Who would have thought you could have been a quarterback somewhere? All right, listen, man. It was great talking to you. Stay stay inside and have fun with the family. Tell Patty I said hello.
I definitely will, buddy. Take care. Thanks for doing your thing, man. It's helping now.
All right, Jay. Thank you.
Good, buddy.
Yeah, it was Jay Wright, the coach of the Villanova Wildcats. So I tried to get him there, man. You know? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for the final Super Bowl, and we got to get out of here. Natalie, what you got? The final numbers.
All right, Mike, today's poll is doing this. It has over 1,300 votes on it. What bothers you more? 63% say no opening day, 37% Alshon's still on the roster, so people miss baseball.
All right, that by the way, was brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your engines running for spring at Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. All right, so that about concludes it. Tomorrow, we will get into the Field of 64, and we may be able to finish it tomorrow. So tomorrow is a big day to finish it. We have our Sweet 16, The Wire versus Lost, Game of Thrones versus Roots, Breaking Bad versus Columbo, The West Wing versus The Sopranos. In the sitcom side, Seinfeld versus All in the Family, MASH versus The Office, South Park versus The Big Bang Theory, and The Simpsons versus Friends. Stay tuned. Joe Torti will take you through the rest of the night here on 97.5 The Fanatic and on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stay tuned for Signing Harper, and that moves into Roy Halladay's perfect game from 2010 versus the Marlins. Everybody, be safe. Quarantine. Hang out with your family. We're in it together. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.